To Luke chapter 5 today. Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter 5, and the Bible says in verse number 1, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, again, we're just thankful for this passage of Scripture, which is such a blessing and such a good lesson for us. Help us, Lord, to learn this lesson today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I do hope this passage of Scripture will be a great blessing to you this morning, as it has been to me. I do try my best to love all the Word of God and appreciate it and learn what I can from every part of the Bible. But this has to be right up there among my favorite stories in all the Bible. And this is a message and a lesson for a church like this one. I realize a lot of people are not here this morning, but you're here. And this is not a message for a liberal church. It's not a message for a carnal church. And it's not a message for a church that's a social organization, but for a group of people who are genuinely desirous of accomplishing something for the Lord Jesus Christ in their community, in their nation, and around the world. This is a message that I believe if you will take it to heart, it will help you greatly. It has to do with fishers of men, but there are several things that had to be settled in the lives of these men, Peter, James, and John, before they could be fishers of men. This group right here, this is the beginning of the ministry of that select group, among the select group that was among another select group. Okay, Jesus, he came into the world and he came to seek and to save that which was lost, and that means everybody. That was everybody. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned to his own way. Out of that select group, he had disciples, far fewer in number than all the multitude that made up the population of the world. Out of those disciples, there was an even smaller group, and that was the group of 12 apostles. But then that even broke down farther, and there was that select, very select group. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over and over again, you read about Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. And I gave you those references there in your notes. Now, you may not find that those three names together in John's gospel, or the gospel according to John, but that's because he always refers to himself as that disciple or something like that. So, but those three men had a special relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ that was not shared by the others. Now, I don't think I'm being foolish. I don't think I'm talking out of school here, but I say this not because I'm here. I say this because it's just so. You are part of a very special group of people in this country and in this world even. Let's face it, I believe that. I believe that you, right here in Kuwait, you have the privilege of learning from God's Word and doing for God. There's things you can do for God right here. Things that very, very few Christians ever have the chance to do. You say, well, but we're just a little church in the back end of nowhere. Nobody even knows about us. Well, yes, but you do have immediate access to people from many, many countries here, don't you? All around the world. People come to Kuwait to work here. And those people, they can go back home and they can teach their communities what they learned from you. And what they learned from you is what God has taught you. Not very many people have the potential to reach people in so many countries without having to get on a plane and go there, or having to send a missionary there. And all of that is at great expense. We are blessed to be part of an intimate group, but there are some things we have to learn, just as Peter, James, and John had to learn before we can really be the fishers of men that God intends for us to be. Well, let's go back and look at this passage and break it down somewhat. The Bible says in verse number 1, the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He, verse 2, saw the ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him. What? Jesus is praying to Peter? What does that mean? What is it to pray? It means ask. It's to ask. So he's just asking Simon that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Why did he do that? Why did Jesus Christ go out in the ship, go out upon the water to do his preaching? Okay. Jesus Christ, knowing all things, being God manifest in the flesh, he knew that that water would amplify and magnify his voice and would carry it to the far reaches of that vast crowd there. He knew that the land is not a good conductor of sound. The grass and the plant life and the trees, if there was any there, they were not good conductors of sound. But Jesus knew that if he could get out there on that water and bounce those sound waves off of that lake, he would be heard by all the multitude. Maybe you tried something like that. Here, go take a camping trip sometime around a lake. Send someone from your party over to the other side of that lake. If it's a small lake, you'll be able to carry on a conversation with that person way over on the other side, just like they were standing right next to you. that water amplifies and bounces the sound off those sound waves off of it. Well, of course Jesus knew that. So what he's actually doing, he's using the ship as a pulpit, if you will, and he's using the water for amplification of the voice as he preaches to the people there. All right, well, here's the story. Here's the lesson, verse number 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Which that looks like draught. Yeah, I always thought it did too, but it's spelled the same way as laugh without the T, right? And so it's draft. let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. All right, so Peter, he's a good fellow, good man. He's an honest man, and he does respect Jesus Christ. There's no contempt, there's no disrespect, no blasphemy in his words here. He says, Master. He doesn't call Jesus a crazy man or a fool. He says, Master. Master, let me talk to you for a minute, please. You were a carpenter for all those years. You've been building houses. You've been constructing furniture. You've been involved in the tools of the building trade. And now you're a teacher, and you're a preacher, and you're a good one. But I'm a fisherman. I've been a fisherman all my life. And I would venture to say, Jesus, that you've never spent any time working on a commercial fishing vessel. And I just want you to know, Master, I'm not criticizing you, Jesus. I'm not speaking against you. Please don't misunderstand me, but I've been out there. I'm telling you, I've been out there all night, and I can tell you for sure there's no fish out there. We went at the best time, when the current was right, when the moon was right. We used the right kind of nets, the right method, with all of our years of experience, and there just aren't any fish out there. How many of us would never dare treat Jesus with disrespect? We would never promote or support taking his name in vain. We would never use Jesus as the subject of a dirty joke. We would never fail to reverence his person and his words. But how many times in our lives have we read something in the Bible and responded in that very same way? You know, Lord, if you knew what my husband was like, if you had to live with my wife, if you had to earn a living in this world, if you were as tired as I was, if you had the physical problems that I've got, Lord, I'm not saying that you're not the Son of God, but I just want you to know that you don't understand my situation. If you know as much about my life and my circumstances as I do, Lord, you wouldn't ask me to do what you're asking me to do. If we had a show of hands this morning, every one of us would say, I've been like Peter. I call him Master, yes, but I lean to my own understanding. And I venture to say, Lord, I'm not going to obey that commandment. I'm not going to honor that request because you wouldn't. I know, Lord, you wouldn't have asked me to do that if you knew as much about my situation as I do. So Peter's got a lesson to learn here. Hopefully we'll learn it too. He says, nevertheless, Peter says this, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. The next thing Peter did is he did obey Jesus to a point. He obeyed Jesus. He obeyed Jesus to the extent that he could look like he was doing what the Lord and Master asked him to do. Jesus said, let down your N-E-T-S, nets. Every one of your nets, Peter, put down every net that you've got into the water. Peter said to himself, now if I don't take this boat out there, and if I don't do some fishing, that will be disobedience. It won't be right not to do what Jesus asks. But I'm just going to do enough to where I can justify my actions and say to the Lord, I took the boat out, I put the net in the water, I did try to catch some fish, I obeyed you, Lord. And how many of us in our lives, just like Peter, we have set a line, we've set a limit, and we'll believe the Bible. We won't find fault with anything that the Scripture says, but we're only going to go far enough so that it looks like we are obeying Jesus. I'm only going to live for God to the extent that I can appear to the other fishermen that I'm fishing, so that I can appear to the other disciples that I'm really obeying, so that I can appear to those that see me in church that I'm obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. But if the truth were known, I've got all kinds of nets still laying over there on the shore. Other nets tucked away down in the hold of the ship where I can't get to them because I really don't believe it's necessary to do exactly what Jesus asked me to do. Isn't that how we are? Now listen, I'm as guilty as anybody. I'm not up here looking down on you. I'm telling you, whether it's intentional, whether it's subconscious, whether it's just the flesh, the truth of the matter is, we're all concerned with appearing to obey Jesus, but we've still got some nets that we haven't let down into the water. Amen. Jesus said, nets, plural, N-E-T-S. The Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what that means? I mean, think about this. When they took that lamb down there and they offered it as a sacrifice in the temple, that lamb wasn't going to do anything from that time forward. It was done. It was wholly and completely given over to that fire on that altar. We give the Lord an hour. We give the Lord, hey, we're not like those people that have never gotten in the ship. You know, we got in the ship. We're not like those people that never launched out into the water. We launched out into the water. We're not like those people that never put down any net. We put down a net. My brother Bob, what are you talking to me about this for? I never miss a church service. You know, you need to be telling this to people who only come to church for 1 hour. Tell this to the people that only come once a month. Tell this to the people that only give 5% because I give my 10%. The Lord didn't ask me to give 10%. He didn't ask me to give 30%. He didn't ask me to give 60%. He asked me to give him my heart, my soul, my strength, and my mind. All of it. But I'm only going to let down enough nets so that the other fishermen think I'm obeying the Master. You know, I don't want to just come right out and say, no, Jesus, you're crazy. There's no benefit in doing that. I wouldn't dare speak against the Lord like that. But by my actions, I'm going to show him that I don't believe he knows what he's talking about. Now watch what Jesus does, verse number 6. And when they, okay, so it's not just Peter. Peter's just the one that always said what the other ones were thinking. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Right? Well, listen, does God ever intend for you to sink under the burden and or the load of his blessings? Does God ever intend for his rewards and his benefits to nearly kill you and destroy you? People come and they say, "Brother, I've been working for the Lord and, oh, I'm just worn out. I've just been trying to serve God and it's just about to kill me. Boy, I can't sleep nights. I've got ulcers. I'm worn out. I need to get away for a while. It's just killing me to serve God." And you know what you're saying? You're saying that you're trying to haul in all the fish with just one net. God never sends blessings to overwhelm you, to drown you, to destroy you. But what happens sometimes, he sends such a great blessing that we've not prepared our hearts to receive, that we've not prepared our lives to receive. And what God meant to be a blessing nearly drowns us or destroys us. Amen. Unbelief sometimes doesn't keep the blessings from coming, but it turns the blessing into a trouble or into a curse or into a problem. Unbelief may not keep the blessing of the Lord from coming, but it may have you in a position where you just can't receive it. Isn't that something? You say, "Oh, I wish I just knew that Bible inside and out." How can you if you're filling your mind with all kinds of other things? The Lord will teach you as much of this word as you make room for in your heart and your mind to receive. And we complain that we don't know the word as we'd like to, but what we've done is we've got all kinds of nets that we just haven't let down. Amen. We wonder, we say, "Oh, I wish I could be a strong and mighty Christian." But we have all kinds of areas of faith where we haven't let down the net. We're holding back. God has all the joy. God has all the peace. God has all the happiness. God has all the faith. God has all the power. There's nothing not provided in the atonement for the living of the Christian life. But you can't receive it unless you let all the nets down. Amen? You know what I got when I got saved? I got eternal life. The Holy Spirit of God. A complete revelation from God Almighty. Now let me ask you something. What more do I need to live the abundant life? Nothing. The only thing that hinders me being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit is a failure to let down all the nets. The blessings keep coming. The blessings keep coming. The Lord sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. The Lord makes his sun to shine on the just and on the unjust. The manna falls down from heaven every single day. But a lot of those blessings, they overwhelm us and they burden us down. I wonder how many preachers, if you would sit down with them, would say, "Yeah, I quit. It just got to be too much. The pressures were too great. The workload was too much. I couldn't bear up under it. And so, yes, I quit." And you'll find them blaming God or blaming the church members or blaming their health. I'll bet you when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will say, "Hey, you had enough nets. You just didn't let them down. Those were blessings I sent you, but they sank your ship because you didn't let down your nets like I told you to." Now, how is a group like this going to work 6 days a week, some of you 12 hours a day, and still find time to get together and serve the Lord and go out to witness and visit the brethren that have a need and meet the needs of the missionaries and study the Bible and pray to God, how are we going to keep up with all of that? I mean, what a great blessing that will sink our ship if we don't have all the nets down. Amen. We might do all right for a while, but then we get busy with this little game, or we get busy with this little play toy, busy with this little project, busy chasing a little extra money, and all of a sudden the work piles up. The spiritual work that was a blessing becomes a burden and a load and the weight, and we begin to sink and fail under it. And we say, Lord, send me some more help. The ships are about to sink. And the Lord said, the problem is not a lack of help. The problem is you hadn't put the nets down. It's a matter of obedience. You know why churches sink? Good churches on the right track doing something for God. Why do they sink? Because you've got just a few hands trying to pull everything in one net. It takes all the hands. It takes all the nets. You got to let them all down or that ship's going to sink. Amen. Now look what he says in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. How about that? Something hit him. Something struck him in his heart right there. Something, you can tell he realized something. I mean, listen, when Peter made his confession in Matthew 16:18, that great confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, that wasn't the first time the Holy Spirit revealed something to that guy. In the moment, that net began to fill with so many fish, Peter knew he had not obeyed Jesus Christ. He knew it. He knew why that ship was sinking. He had been a commercial fisherman. He had worked those lakes all his life. He did know everything there was to know about pulling in fish. And he knew something. He knew that if he would have had all the nets down like he was told to, the ships would not be in peril. He knew he was guilty of disobedience. Guilty of disobedience. Partial obedience is what the carnal Christian calls it. Disobedience is what the Holy Spirit calls it. And it's the same thing. and he fell at the feet of Jesus and he said, depart. Depart. Get away from me. Leave me alone. I'm a sinful man. But thank God Jesus didn't seek sinners so that he could show them that they were sinners and then depart and leave them in that. Leave them in that condition. He came to show them that they were sinners and then lift them up and teach them to live a life of real obedience. Listen, Peter was a simple, disobedient man. And the blessings were there. And he becomes an obedient follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it didn't change the fact that God blessed him. What changed was his ability to receive the blessings. Every fella planning to get drunk tonight, he'll get drunk with money, the money that God gave him. Amen. Every fellow that's plotting a crime or a murder tonight is using the brain that God gave him. And we could go right on down the list. I mean, listen, you had life from God before you ever repented of your sin. You had 24 hours a day from God before you ever repented of your sin. You ate, you drank, you had a bed to sleep in, you had a roof over your head, you had clothes on your back as a gift from God before you were ever born again. But what happens once you begin to live a life of obedience is you can enjoy those blessings instead of them becoming just another grief and another burden and another haunting curse. Amen? So Peter says, depart, I'm a sinful man. Verse 9, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Was Jesus interested in Peter having a big haul of fish that night? I don't believe so. Was Jesus interested in showing James and John that he knew more about fishing than a commercial fisherman did? No. No. Do you know what he did? He was showing them a principle. I didn't come to get all the fishermen to leave their nets. I didn't come to get all the plumbers to leave their wrenches. I didn't come to get all the secretaries to leave their typewriters. I didn't come to get all the professors to leave their classroom. I didn't come to get all the masons to leave their bricks. I didn't come to get all the housewives to leave their home. I came to show you that I am able to give you an abundance of souls, eternal souls, one to Christ, if you will obey me fully and completely. Amen. Now, if we asked, if we went around the room and said, would you like to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, having led someone to saving faith in Jesus Christ? Every one of us would say, yes, of course. If I said, would you like to have 2 or 3 or 5 or 500? Would you like to get to heaven and have a whole group of people up there that are saved and are in heaven because you showed them the way of life? We would all say yes. And Jesus said, all right, I'm not going to give you a course on evangelism. I'm not going to give you a class on soul winning. I'm not going to give you a seminar on door knocking. I'm not going to give you a textbook on witnessing. I'm going to give you a Bible and ask you to obey my words. If you will obey me, I will be able by my Holy Spirit to make you like Christ, who always attracted the searching sinner to himself. You know why we've got to work so hard to go out and find lost people and try to drag them to the cross? Because there's nothing in us that appeals to them. What do you read in Luke 5:1 here? It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Why? Why were they so pressing upon the Lord there? It's because they were desperate for relief from the burden of sin, and they saw in that life someone that could they knew could meet their need. You know what makes great fishers of men? And I'm not talking about these Mary Kay cosmetic, Amway, Kirby vacuum evangelists. I'm not talking about these guys that get you to sign on the dotted line under a high-pressure tactic. I'm talking about the kind of men that Timothy was and that Paul was when he says, be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you. You know why we've got to go out and try to get them to listen? Because there's nothing in us that makes them want to come and ask. Amen. Weren't they always coming to Jesus? Weren't they always bringing people to Peter? Weren't there always crowds coming to hear Paul? Why? They saw something in those lives that the sinner down inside said, there's help there. I know there's help there. And you know what the Lord asks? He doesn't ask us to learn how to do this or learn how to do that. He asks us to let down all the nets. Do exactly what he asks us to do, without reservation, without argument, without leaning to our own understanding. He said, all right, you've learned something. Henceforth, from this day forward, now you can go out and catch men. Now you can go out and catch men. What did Jesus know? Look at verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They didn't forsake one of their nets this time. They didn't forsake two or three of the nets this time. They learned a lesson. They forsook all the nets. Jesus said to a group of men who had learned a lesson and were ready, willing, and able now to do exactly what he said. He said, you guys, from henceforth, you are going to catch men. You know what we need? We don't need more quote unquote soul winners. We don't need more quote unquote evangelists. We don't need more quote unquote workers for the Lord. You know what this world needs? More obedient Christians. Because if we were living lives that were obedient to the Word of God, men would be drawn to the Christ that was in us. Do you believe that? Over in this lake of Gennesaret, verse 1, it's called the Sea of Tiberias and the Sea of Galilee in John 6:1. Fishermen to this day in that place, they have a fish they call Poisson Saint Pierre, Saint Peter's fish. They still call him Saint Peter's fish out there in that area to this day. That what happened, what we just read about, this event here, it was something that everybody still remembers to this day. Quite a lesson. That's a lesson that was taught there. That lesson that was taught that day, it's still remembered 2,000 years later. They're still talking about it over there. All those fish that nearly sunk the ship. And let me just say this and then we'll be through. I know it's a short lesson today, so short, kind of simple. The flesh immediately comes and begins to say, yeah, but if you put down all the nets, if you begin to obey just exactly what the Word says, don't you realize what that's going to cost you in relationship with your friends, in relationship with your family, in relationship with your kinfolk, in relationship with your neighbors, in relationship with the people that you work with? Do you know what it's going to cost you if you live just exactly by what Jesus says? That's the flesh. But wait a minute. Here's a fisherman. Now listen, here's a fisherman. He's been out all night. I mean, almost killing himself trying to catch fish. And Jesus said, "Can I use your fish for a few minutes? I just have a group of people here I want to preach a sermon to. Can I use your ship?" Peter says, "Well, I suppose you can." And Jesus stands in that ship and gets seated in that ship there, and he preaches to all that multitude. And when he finishes, he says, "All right, Peter, come on out here on the water." And he filled that boat with fish. Filled that boat with fish. Do you really believe? Now here we quote and we say, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that. That's what the Bible says. I try not to just say it, but I believe that. I believe if I will give this body to Jesus Christ for his use, I believe he will fill it with good things. If I give this mind, if I give this heart, if I give this life to Jesus for his use in proclaiming his truth to the multitudes, I believe he will fill it with good things. Amen. That's what Peter learned. Peter could say honestly later on to Jesus, he said, "Lord, we have forsaken all. We've forsaken all to follow you." And Jesus said, "Peter, this isn't just for you." He said, there is no man, not a one. Jesus said that. "There is no man that's forsaken a house for me that won't have 100 to sleep in. There's no man that's forsaken a father or a mother for me who won't have 100 men and women love him like a father or a mother. There's no man that's forsaken a brother or a sister for me that won't have 100 multiplied brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no man that's forsaken earthly possessions for me that won't have treasures laid up in heaven." Amen. If you will obey the Lord Jesus Christ and don't just let down a net, but let them all down, it won't be in vain. He'll return upon you a blessing in abundance so great you couldn't even tell it. You couldn't even tell it. Amen? We are so reluctant. We are so hesitant. But we say, "But Lord, if you knew what I know, if we knew what he knows, we would obey him. If we knew what he wants to give us, we would obey, not in part, but in full." Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for opening our eyes a little bit more today, showing us that even though we think we've been obeying you, we've been holding back, we put on a show sometimes. We try to make sure other people think we're obeying you. Help us, Lord, not to neglect any part of your word, any part of your commands for us, but to apply them, to take them to heart, and to be completely obedient. Lord, give us that kind of a heart that wants to know what exactly you want us to do, that we may do it in full, that we may know the joy of serving you, that we may become fishers of men, and we may know the blessings that result from that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.